New York is obliterating the single-day case records with nearly 70,000 new positive infections. And we have the latest on this with Yahoo Finance's Anjali Kamlani. Anjali, we've been talking about this for days, if not a couple weeks now. The COVID cases are surging. We know that hospitalization rates are up, but not as bad as they were prior, especially during the Delta variant. Can you give us an update on this front?
Absolutely, Jared. I would actually caution on that hospitalization numbers. Don't read too much into it just yet, because if we remember, what we've learned throughout the pandemic is that the hospitalization jump usually follows a couple of weeks of climbing cases. So hang on tight for that just now. We do know that the severity of those hospital cases are likely to be decreased. We're not going to be over-relying on, say, ICU ventilation, et cetera, and hospital stays are likely to be shorter than previous variants. That's based on the data that we've seen coming out of South Africa and the UK and other places around the globe. Now, as you noted, New York is breaking records with their positivity, but that is also being seen not just around the country, but also around the globe. We saw that in one day, we jumped to 1.7 million cases globally yesterday, pushing the 7-day average beyond 1 million for the first time in a while. And here in the US, we're really pushing those numbers. And it really is surpassing what we saw in what was the worst peak earlier this year in January. So look at those numbers side by side. In January of this year, we had more than 257,000 daily cases on average, but the full number was actually closer to 300. That was one of the records. Meanwhile, now in December, we're looking at 488,000 cases just yesterday, pushing the daily average to more than 300,000. So you can see really by contrast, those stark numbers there. And all of that really, you know, pointing to a lot of what the experts have been warning about, that this surge is really new, it is more infectious, this variant. And so to just kind of keep an eye out, because it is affecting everyone, whether or not you are vaccinated, but largely, of course, the unvaccinated. Back to you.
Anj, stick around because we want to bring in Dr. Shikha Jain. She is the assistant professor of medicine at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Doctor, you were just listening to Anjali, and I'm going to get to some big picture stuff in a minute. I just want to get your boots on the ground feel for things. How are they evolving where you are?
So I will tell you, here in Illinois and really across the country, we are seeing a huge increase in the number of COVID patients who are being diagnosed and who are being admitted. And different than what we saw a year ago, we are also seeing huge staff shortages around the country. Remember, when those surges were happening last year or beginning of 2021, we were seeing people who were still following risk mitigation protocols, and we weren't seeing large numbers amongst hospital staff because most of businesses were still shut down. Now people are living their lives, going about living their society lives with masks on and sometimes without masks on, socializing, getting out there. And we're seeing a lot of hospital staff getting sick. So now, not only are we seeing an increase in the number of patients who are admitted with COVID, we're seeing an increase in the number of patients who are admitted with other medical problems. And then we're seeing huge staff shortages, which result in bed shortages. So we're seeing long waits in emergency rooms. We're seeing people who aren't able to get admitted to the hospital because they just don't have the staff to take care of the patients.
I'm really glad you brought that up, Dr. Jain, because I've seen reports about how hospitals have been relying on temporary employees or traveling, you know, doctors to fill the void there. And it seems to be sort of a stopgap, and you can't really get much more out of some of those people, even though some have come from the hospital industry, maybe leaving because of the conditions there and then choosing to travel instead. So there's been a lot of movement, right, in the past couple of months there. Meanwhile, to your point, everyone is going back to normal, and governments have been choosing, whether state or at the federal level, to allow that essentially. We've seen, I think, in large portion, companies take on the role of making the decisions on whether or not to remain at home. And that has played possibly the best role in really keeping, you know, people safe. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And I would say another big thing that I like to point out is people always say, we don't want lockdowns. We don't want to shut down our economy and shut down our society. But what we're seeing now is so many people are contracting COVID. It's not the governors and the local officials who are asking for things to be shut down. It's stores and restaurants are being shut down because their staff are infected with COVID or have been exposed. So whether we want to admit it or not, things are going to be getting shut down, whether there are rules in place or not, because so many people are contracting COVID or coming in contact with somebody who has COVID.
That's a very good point, Professor. And part of this and part of the return to work, return to the office strategy, and many people traveling are affected by this, is testing. And we still have lines around the block, people waiting up to a week for results. As we integrate the testing procedures into our daily or weekly routines, and it appears that we're far from being able to do that effectively, is this a permanent part of the landscape? And what should we expect once we get over this latest wave?
Well, I think number one, we need more tests and we need more tests quickly. So I know that the Biden administration has talked about sending out a lot of tests in the beginning of the new year, which is great. But right now, as you said, not only are there lines around the block for these testing centers, some of these testing centers are getting shut down because people within the testing centers are being diagnosed with COVID. And some of the testing centers are running out of those kits. What I can imagine is once we have some more testing available, people are going to start testing before they see loved ones or relatives, before they start socializing. We're recommending that now, but there just aren't enough tests for people to actually implement that plan. So my hope is that once we have more tests, people are able to test before they socialize to make sure they don't have COVID before they see friends and loved ones.
I wonder, there's something that we had a quick chat about earlier today about the idea that a lot of people are starting to talk about this being an endemic disease. I feel like it's too early for that conversation, but do you see signs of that maybe in just sort of the way the U.S. is handling this versus other countries like, say, Germany, that is sort of choosing, you know, a mixed response, restricting unvaccinated individuals, but allowing vaccinated individuals to move around more freely?
So honestly, I don't think, Anjali, this is going to become an endemic until we can vaccinate the entire world. Because as we've seen with these new variants that keep coming, once we have populations that have very low vaccine rates, often because of access to vaccines, we see new variants pop up. And the concern is at some point we may end up with a variant that can get around our vaccines. So until we can really do a huge push to vaccinate people around the world, I am concerned, and many other healthcare officials are concerned, that we might not get to an endemic state before we find a variant that gets around our vaccines. And that is a really big concern. So we need to be focusing on equity and equitable distribution of vaccines across the world to get us to a point where we can be more endemic, because people are going to continue to travel. They're going to be flying internationally. And so there's nothing to stop the virus from coming across borders just by having plans put in place for our country.
And Doctor, we've been dealing with this virus for nearly 2 years. At what point do we have all these large organizations like the CDC, national governments, local governments? At what point do we say this is going to require a more nuanced and local approach? It just seems every time there's a high level directive, it's split six ways from Sunday. It doesn't seem like anybody can win. People get frustrated and then they blame the larger organizations. Is there an exit for this beyond everybody getting vaccinated? Is it possible to have some kind of central authority that's respected, but not necessarily issuing the letter of the law and allowing for some variance in local procedures?
So I think that's what they've been trying to do. I think that, you know, to a big extent, the national leadership here has been trying to leave it at the state level and trying to let state leaders follow what they think is best for their communities. I think the challenge that's happened is we're seeing states like Florida that have never really had masks indoors, and places where they're actually against kids wearing masks in schools. And I think a lot of places aren't necessarily following the science. And that can be really concerning when we're making these decisions, because again, once you look, it's not that Illinois and New York are so far apart. People can travel between the states. So if there's high infection rates in one state, they can very easily fall over into another state or another community. So I agree there needs to be a nuance and there needs to be decision-making at the local level. But I think, unfortunately, a lot of this is going to come down to, we're going to need things like rules and regulations similar to seatbelt laws, or similar to you're not allowed to drink and drive, because the decisions that you make, whether to get a vaccine or whether to wear a mask, they're not just impacting you and your life. They're actually impacting every single person you come into contact with. And then they're impacting the people that those people come into contact with. The hospitals are just overrun with COVID and non-COVID patients. And if your mom or your grandma or your grandpa can't get treated for a heart attack because the hospitals are full and there's no staff to take care of them, then whether you got vaccinated or not, it doesn't matter if there's no health care available to take care of your family members.
Good point. We certainly don't want that, doctor. We do have to leave it there. Dr. Shikha Jain, Assistant Professor of Medicine, University of Illinois, Chicago, along with Yahoo Finance's Anjali